If you'll have Scripture open in front of you as we come to God's Word, and we continue our series looking at wise words for godly living. And tonight we're thinking of wise words for using our wealth. Wise words for using our wealth. When we come to Scripture, there can be two extremes concerning wealth and riches. On the one hand, there are some people who teach a prosperity gospel. That is, for all who love God, for those who are walking closely with Him, they will be rich. And some people teach, or try to teach from Scripture, that we will never be in want. Our storehouses will be overflowing. Our barns will be completely full. If we are truly God's people, then we will prosper in wealth and riches. And they would go as far as to say that if we are not rich, then either we have sinned in some way, or we simply don't belong to God's kingdom. So that's one extreme, this prosperity gospel. And it's easy to see how people can fall into this extreme. If we take verses out of Scripture, out of context, if we misread verses or twist them, we can reach this false conclusion. God loved Abraham. Abraham was rich. God loved Jacob. And Jacob was rich. Throughout the Old Testament, there are numerous promises that God will bless His people with wealth. We can think of Malachi chapter 3, verse 10. I will open the windows of heaven for you and pour down for you a blessing until there is no more need. So if we are not careful with Scripture, then we could end up teaching this prosperity gospel or theology. It is the rich people who are truly saved and walking with Christ. That's one extreme. But it's also possible to fall into another extreme, an austerity gospel. Jesus said that the rich cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. The widow, they're two small coins. She was blessed more than everyone else because she gave everything away. Christ Jesus Himself, He had nowhere to lay His head. And so we can view wealth with suspicion. We know that the love of money is the root of all evil. Or we can twist it a little bit and say money is the root of all evil. So money itself, it must be dirty. There must be something wrong with riches and wealth. And a true Christian has to be someone who struggles to make ends meet. A true Christian is someone who lives on faith alone. They don't have decent cars. They don't wear nice clothing. They certainly don't have any of this newfangled technology. That would be a no-no. These fancy little gizmos with your Bible. Oh no, that must be wrong. There are some people would take this extreme. They say that if we're true Christians, we must struggle. The kingdom of God is the domain of the poor man, an austerity gospel. So we can have these two extremes. God is favorable to the rich, or God is against the rich. But Proverbs 22, verse 2, tells us that the rich and the poor meet together. The Lord is the maker of them all. We have to have a balanced reading of Scripture, making sure that we read verses in their context that will bring out the correct view of wealth. And Proverbs has a lot to teach us about wealth, about money, about our possessions. Wealth can be a blessing. Clearly, it is God who gives us every good and perfect gift. It's God who provides for us. But we have to be careful with wealth. We have to be careful with our possessions and our property, because they can quickly become a snare for us. You see, the difference between wealth being a blessing and wealth being a curse is wisdom. When we approach our wealth with wisdom, we find that it becomes the blessing that God intends it to be. And so tonight, we are not, hopefully, taking one extreme over the other. But I want us to see that within Scripture and within Proverbs, there is a wise way to use our wealth. We have wise words for godly living in how we use our wealth. And our key verse tonight is Proverbs 3, verse 9. Here is the phrase that you can go away with, that you can think on and ponder. Proverbs 3, verse 9. Honor the Lord with your wealth. Here are our wise words for using our wealth. The first thing I want us to notice is that wealth is given by God. Wealth is given by God. The word wealth here in verse 9, the King James translates it as substance. It doesn't just refer to money, but it refers to possessions, to property. So it's a wider word than just money or our salary. It includes everything that we have and we own, our substance, our wealth. And we are to honor God with it. But where does it come from? Well, there is, of course, the general principle when it comes to wealth. And that is that we are to not expect provisions and wealth if we are lazy. If we are not willing to use our gifts and abilities, if we're not willing to work, then we shouldn't expect wealth. But when we work, we should expect that we will receive wealth and provisions. Proverbs 10, verse 4. A slack hand causes poverty, but the hand of the diligent makes rich. So there's a general principle. We gain wealth through work, through employment, through being industrious. Paul, when he was writing to the church in Thessalonica, in that second letter, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 7 to 9, Paul writes, "We were not idle when we were with you, nor did we eat anyone's bread without paying for it. But with toil and labor we work night and day, that we might not be a burden to any of you. It was not because we do not have that right, but to give you in ourselves an example to imitate." Paul is saying we gain wealth through work. We shouldn't expect to live off others, to leech off them. So on the one hand, our wealth comes from our own industry and work, comes through toil and effort. But ultimately, of course, our wealth, our money, possessions, everything we own, it all comes from God. We read from 2 Corinthians 9, verse 10. Paul says he supplies seed to the sower and bread for food. And he who supplies those things will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. Everything that we possess is from God. Our substance is from God. And that means that it is all kingdom possessions. Our money, our homes, our cars, every item that we possess, every gadget that we have, it is all from God. And God has therefore made us stewards of what He's given to us. And so we are to use what He has given to serve Him. Within His kingdom, God has provided kingdom possessions. Honor the Lord with your wealth. Or as the King James says, honor the Lord with your substance, with everything we have, because it has all been given by God. We honor God with it. This is something for you to think about and consider at home. How can you honor God this week with the things that He has given to you? How can you honor Him this week with your kingdom home, with your kingdom wealth, your kingdom car, your kingdom possessions? For the boys and girls who are listening, I have a question for you. How can you please God this week with the things that God has given to you? I want to suggest one or two ways. One way is with the toys. That the toys that you have in many ways are gifts from God. God has provided them. And one way that you can please God is by sharing the things that God has given to you. Share your toys. Share your belongings with your friends, your brothers, your sisters. Another way to please God with your possessions, whatever it is that God has given to you, is to be thankful. Say thank you to God for what He's given to you. God has provided everything. And so we are to use our possessions in a kingdom way. We must always remember that our wealth, our possessions, they've been given by God. Yes, we work for them. It's a general principle. We work and we toil and we gain from our industry. But ultimately, God has given. And we should also expect that God will provide for us when we are using our wealth correctly. Proverbs 3 verse 10. Here the provisions that the writer has, that Solomon has, when they are used correctly, when God is being honored with them, when they're used in a kingdom way, then God continues to provide. Your barns will be filled with plenty. Your vats will be bursting with wine. God is pleased to give us what we need. He will always provide us with what we need. But also in many ways, God has given us so much more. The wonderful truth of Scripture is that as we give away, as we honor God with our possessions, He is pleased to continue to provide us with what is sufficient for us. Now, that might not be a lot compared to what others have. But God provides what is sufficient. He provides our wealth. And when we are using it in a Christ-honoring, in a God-honoring way, God is still pleased to provide and give us what is sufficient. Every provision that we have comes from God. And because everything that we have comes from God, it's a kingdom possession. It all belongs to God. We are simply entrusted with it. We are stewards of all that God has given to us. And God has been generous in what He's given. Outside of material wealth, there is a greater wealth that we have been given. And that is the wealth and the riches that come in Christ Jesus. God has provided generously for us in Christ. We read from 2 Corinthians 8 verse 9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you, by his poverty, might become rich. In Christ Jesus, our riches, our wealth, our substance, it's found in salvation. It's found in the forgiveness of sins. It's found in our eternal inheritance. That inheritance that will never perish, spoil, or fade. And friends, let us never forget that in Christ we are spiritually rich. We are wealthy men, women, and children in Jesus Christ. God has provided us with the most wonderful of riches and wealth in Jesus Christ. And we are stewards. Stewards of all that God has given to us. And God has been generous in what he has given. Wealth is provided by God. Then secondly, wealth is to be used in service to God. Wealth is to be used in service to God. God is generous in what he gives to us. But he's generous so that we might be generous to others. We have a responsibility to use our kingdom possessions in a kingdom glorifying way. Honor the Lord with your wealth. Proverbs sets out for us different ways that we can honor God with our wealth and possessions. We are to use our wealth wisely, prudently. That includes with money, and we were thinking about this in our Money Matters talks that John Turner did. That includes investing, saving for the future, preparing for the next generation, planning ahead. We can think of Proverbs 13, verse 22. A good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children, but the sinner's wealth is laid up for the righteous. A good man, a prudent man, a wise man plans ahead for the future, uses his wealth wisely, investing, saving. But I want to think just a little bit more about how we use our wealth in generosity to others. Proverbs 14, verse 31. Whoever oppresses a poor man insults his maker, but he who is generous to the needy honors him. That's Proverbs 14, 31. He who is generous to the needy honors him. Honor the Lord with your wealth. There's a responsibility on us to provide for the poor, for those in need. And that responsibility falls firstly within the family of God's people. And then with the resources that we have available to the needy who are outside the church family. Think of the Christians in the book of Acts. This is what Phil's been preaching through, and he's touched on it. They cared for one another. They made sure that no one is in need amongst them. They went as far as to sell their possessions in order to provide what was necessary for the poor, for the widows, the orphans within the church family. Part of Paul's traveling ministry, his missionary work, it was to gather a collection for the suffering Christians in Jerusalem. That's what we were reading of in 2 Corinthians. There's a responsibility for those in need. Proverbs 14:21. Whoever despises his neighbor is a sinner, but blessed is he who is generous to the poor. We honor God with our wealth when we take what God has given to us, and when we use it to be a blessing to others. God is pleased with us when our wealth is being used in this wise way. Think of the widow at the temple treasury. Jesus and his disciples are standing there. Many people have gone on before. Proud, haughty. They've thrown in handfuls of money. Everyone can see. They can hear it clanging against the bowls, the treasury bowls. Little widow comes up. Two little coins. She puts them in. What was Jesus' view of that situation? She gave more than everyone else. She used what she had wisely. She was ready to use it within the kingdom of God. She was ready to give of what she had so that others could be provided for. We are to give, even with the little we have. Honor the Lord with your wealth. We are to use what we have within his kingdom to be a blessing to others. Proverbs 28, verse 6. Better is a poor man who walks in his integrity than a rich man who is crooked in his ways. Better to have very little and be wise in how we use it than to have a lot and to be crooked and to not serve Christ within his kingdom, to use our wealth for selfish gain. We are to be wise. See our possessions as kingdom possessions and use them in serving Christ and his people. Be generous because God has generously given to us. And the wonderful truth is that God is pleased with us when we use our wealth in this way. God delights in us when we use our kingdom possessions with a kingdom mindset. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 7. God loves a cheerful giver. I want to remind us, why do we give? We give because of the riches that God has given to us. And we're ready to give sacrificially because God has been generous to us, not just physically, but ultimately spiritually. We are rich in Christ, and we are ready to use what wealth we have in his kingdom to serve him. In the light of God's blessings, we are to be a blessing to others. And so spiritually, we have been entrusted with great spiritual riches, the wealth of the gospel. And friends, we are to use this wealth, we are to use these riches in service for God the Father in Christ. And our responsibility is to share with the needy, the spiritually needy, the poor. What wealth and riches we have in Christ. And there's a world that is dying and in need, starving to death without Christ. We have a responsibility. Honor the Lord with your wealth, the physical wealth that he's given to us, and also the spiritual wealth. Wealth, we are to use it in serving God. And then thirdly and finally, wealth will not save us before God. Wealth will not save us before God. Honor God with your wealth. This isn't saying that we are made right with God because of our wealth. We're not saved before God by our wealth. No amount of our giving or what we possess will ever make us right with God. And so Proverbs gives us warnings concerning wealth and riches. Proverbs 11, verse 4. Riches do not profit in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivers from death. Think back to the rich young ruler. He came along, he had questions for Jesus. What do I have to do to enter into eternal life? Jesus asked him about the commandments, and he said, all of these I've kept ever since I was a little boy. And then Jesus pointed out the biggest obstacle he had to entering heaven. And it was his dependence on his wealth. Christ pointed out the thing that he could not give up. His riches was his God. And what use is this God when we have to stand before Christ and give an account of how we have dealt with him? Riches and wealth give us no standing before God. Riches and wealth will never be enough to redeem our soul. They cannot pay the price. Soul's redemption costly is. Money never could buy this. We can't take it with us. We can't present it before God the Father and say, look at everything that I've acquired. You must be so pleased and happy with me because you must have blessed me richly with all that I have. Money, possessions, they cannot be our God because they cannot save us. But so also, giving away all of our wealth. Generosity will not save us before God. Proverbs 11:28. Whoever trusts in his riches, and here we can include generosity, the giving away of riches, whoever trusts in these will fall, but the righteous will flourish like a green leaf. Just because we follow the biblical command to tithe, to set aside a tenth of our earnings for the work of Christ's kingdom, and just because we're good stewards of our money, or we give generously, that doesn't mean that we're right before God. But our riches and our wealth are ultimately found in Christ. Turn to Proverbs chapter 8. We're told to honor the Lord with our wealth. And here in Proverbs 8, we have wisdom speaking. We're going to be looking at verses 17 to 19. Wisdom speaking is Christ speaking. These are the words of Jesus Christ. And he says, I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently find me. Riches and honor are with me, enduring wealth and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, even fine gold, and my yield than choice silver. Wealth and possessions will never make us right before God. But in Christ, we are made right before God. And in Christ, we find the greatest of riches. We find it in forgiveness and new life in Christ. And in Christ Jesus, God supplies us with everything that we need. And in Christ, we have an abundance of heavenly blessings. In him, we are the possessors of the new heaven and the new earth. We have the riches of the gospel message. We are to be wise with that wealth. Be wise with the riches that we have in Christ. wise with spiritual wealth. Honor the Lord with your wealth. We are to be wise with our physical wealth, because everything that we have comes from God. And we are to approach our wealth with an attitude of kingdom. These are kingdom possessions and kingdom wealth, and I will honor the Lord with them. And as we show wisdom, as we use our wealth to serve one another, as we use it to bring comfort to the needy, we will then find that we are honoring the Lord with our wealth. Wise words for using our wealth. Amen.